this holiday, whether you're making a Kroger Simple Truth Turkey for 40 or a Murray's Baked Brie for two, Kroger has fast, fresh delivery and free pickup, so you can make holiday meals that bring you all together to create memories that last. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Free pickup on orders of $35 or more. Restrictions may apply.
Choose from a great selection of digital coupons and use them up to 5 times in one transaction. Check our app for details. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
What's up?
I don't know. We're waiting for you.
Stupid people.
Automated about yourself again?
Systems. And...
yeah, just kidding.
Good morning, good afternoon, whatever time it is that you're listening to us, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Daily Cup of Genre here on the Genreverse Podcast Network and YouTube channel. Please give us a follow on your favorite podcast app and a sub here on the YouTube channel. If you like what you see or hear, leave a review, comments, thumbs up or down. And if you don't like it, you know, thumbs down, leave a review, comments, and let us know what's up. Check out the website, lrmonline.com, every day for all entertainment news, needs, and opinions. I'm Kyle, that's Manny. And yeah, I just had an annoying phone call about an appointment we did not miss. And then called people stupid, and then there was Manny, and now you're all caught up. And I'm already angry today, and I don't want to jump into that, the thing that made me angry first. I really don't, because I have something that is more curious, Manny. Star Wars announced that Andor, the first two episodes, is going to air on ABC, FX, Freeform, and Hulu. And it's interesting because what does it mean? This is a Disney Plus exclusive show. Is this a sign of, hey, we're trying to lure people to check it out who may not have Disney Plus because it hasn't gotten the greatest reception? Everyone keeps calling it boring, and I want to punch them in their faces for it, figuratively. Except Manny, I'll really do that one next year at AX. No, I'm joking.
You can't catch me first.
That's true. I can't run. We're shit. Or is it two, an attempt to lure subs just straight up? Like they're fine with its overall performance, but they want to get more subs. We know that Andor doesn't necessarily appeal to older people or younger people as much as it does older, and by that I mean anyone that's, you know, over say 27, 28. But the third thing I could think of is ad revenue. We know Disney is hurting for money, and here if you release this, you're gonna have a whole bunch of people that don't have Disney Plus checking it out for the first time. It's on 4 different things. Hulu is a subscription, but there are ads on Hulu as well. Is it a sign of the future? Do we start getting Disney Plus things like teases of them so they can earn a little bit of money and try to draw in subs? I don't know, Manny. I know you might not find this as curious as I do, but what do you think might be going on?
I think no one think that Andor hasn't received the love and admiration that they go through with the
that it deserves.
They need to. Sorry, my microphone did something weird. They need to. They're gonna need to figure out a way to sell it to people. Unfortunately, Disney's first mistake already happened earlier with bombarding people with candy, which I will call nostalgia. And
my Clone Wars, my Rebels.
And now there's time for some substance, for some vegetables, for some good, for something that'll give you life and long-term life, to say the least. You don't want it. You want the ice cream. You want the Grogu cameo. You want the Mandalorian cameo. You know, you want the Luke Skywalker. Do you remember that we're not even supposed to be in the Skywalker era anymore?
Yeah.
But they got nothing. Absolutely nothing.
Yep.
Andor, and Andor and Rogue One is the closest that you've gotten to get almost away from it all without getting away from it all.
Yeah.
Everything else has been Skywalker oriented. Hell, he was even in Boba Fett for
Papa
no reason.
Palpatine. Yeah. Skywalker or Papa Palpatine.
So, I think they're trying to justify that now and figure out why people don't like it and trying to get a bigger market for it. Which really surprises me. And yeah, at the same time, doesn't surprise me at all. But I will say, I think it's because of all of that, because of all of the snacks that you've given people, that all of a sudden you can't do a show like this anymore. It's not going to be well received. Right? And yeah.
Makes me worry about any type of because season two is either just started or about to start filming. Makes me concerned about what they might do to it.
Oh yeah, no, I 100%
quick,
agree with
throw
you.
Throw in a Cad Bane. Throw in somehow fit Luke Skywalker in there. Yeah. He's like 12. Don't care.
Yeah, that's really what it comes down to. I will say Andor, in my opinion, is two episodes too long. Some of the exposition is very unnecessary because it's a very linear, not... There's no surprises here that right. need that much exposition. And there's no big moments that need to simmer as long as they have. I think the best
the
best moment has come with the last episode and that last line in that episode 10, which completely
I can't swim.
It's like the thing is, so you do need to build like that moment. That's very important.
Yeah.
So I think I'm talking about the exposition with maybe some of the I don't know what you want to call them, pre-rebels or whatever, especially that he worked
early
with early
disparate groups and
because
stuff,
it was like we're not coming back to them. So I didn't need all those backstories. Like,
well, they've kind of a couple of, and I don't want to spoil anything for others out there who haven't seen it all. I do want to say for those that are listening and not watching, it is ABC on the 23rd. FX on the 24th, Freeform on the 25th, and it'll be available. These are the first two episodes of the series available on Hulu from the 23rd through December 7th. They have followed a few of those early Rebel group characters, two of them in particular, one who's got a connection to someone else, and the other one has a big connection to the first, of course. But yeah, I mean, even I found myself, especially in the first prison episode or second prison episode, I don't remember which one, where I was like, you could have probably cut this up and put it on into other episodes. So I do agree that there is some room for some different cuts, but it is so good. This is the Star Wars EU. This is why the EU was so loved, because we admitted that the universe, or excuse me, the galaxy is big, and that while the big fighting might include names like Palpatine and Skywalker, there's a whole bunch of people on the ground level. There's that there's that word, the ground level, like your daredevils and shit like that, that people always like, man, give us more ground level Marvel, and then you're like, I don't want ground level Star Wars. Give me techno dancing lightsabers and Clone Wars stuff, and I if it's not that, I don't care. I mean, God, guys, this is Star Wars for grown-ups without it having to be filled. And they said shit once, and they've shown an attractive female thigh, and they've shown attractive male chests and stuff like that. There's a little bit of grown-up to this, but I mean, it's for grown-ups, as in it's not aimed at 12 year olds, and everyone can enjoy it. You know, the thigh and the shirtless men, you see that at a beach, so you're gonna be fine showing this to your 10 year old. They just might not find it as interesting, and that's okay, because there are a lot of 16 plus year olds that are into drama, that are into higher sci-fi thinking things, and your Dune and your stuff like that. There's plenty of us. stop ignoring us.
No, because we don't go to Disneyland, and we don't buy.
We buy more merch than anyone outside of Disneyland. Because you're right, we're not there. It's too damn expensive.
I was about to say we don't buy Grogu toys, and then I look over to my right and go, never mind.
I got a giant stuffed Grogu in my closet.
There's like seven of them. There's like seven of them on the bed next to me, and I'm like,
well, that is the thing, dude. It is older fans that tend to buy the majority of the especially the expensive merchandise and collectibles, the t-shirts. Yeah, you're selling a lot of small toys, little action figures, the cheapy stuff to younger fans. You're selling some Lego sets and stuff, but even the Lego thing, besides my own son, I know a crap ton of adults that are into the Star Wars Legos, you know. So I don't know the exact breakdown. If someone thinks they do or have poured through the sheets to where there's some easy charts to look at, I mean, the absolute state of Star Wars merchandise. I can remember a time where Star Wars had its own aisle, full aisle, sometimes covering both sides of it. Now you go into a Walmart or Target or any toy area, and Star Wars is no bigger than Marvel, no bigger than Pokemon. I mean, it's sad. It's tiny. It's pathetic. So that means that the people that were buying the amount of kids that used to buy Star Wars merchandise in the era of the prequels or the 90s, but before the prequels, when they came in like the green back boxes and stuff, like they all looked like buff 80s action figures. Those numbers haven't been replaced, and those of us that grew up were not interested in the cheap, you know, no bending elbow action figures that they have, but we sure do buy a crap ton of the more expensive collectibles. So I don't know what they get out of aiming it at exclusively, and that's not saying that you can't enjoy it as an adult, but it is so the aim, the target audience from Star Wars has gone from general audiences, all ages, family friendly, to 12 and under. Sometimes 10 and under when you look at some of the animated stuff. And then we finally get something again for everyone that might just skew towards people with a bit more maturity. And people just crap all over it. And I don't get it.
You know who's doing their franchise doing it right? And and I say this with a lot of bias. No, nobody watches that. And I always say that teasing just to be fair. I know how big it's growing, and hell, we have it in theaters now. All these movies are coming out, which is great.
The majority of our subscribers are here for anime, so you watch your mouth.
I mean, someone's got to play the Kyle to anime. Like, it was funny because I like, my only issue with anime is I don't have time to watch it.
Yeah.
But
I can respect that.
But there I am, you know, first in line for Dragon Ball Z and for My Hero Academia, mainly because actually all my friends are weebs anyway, so like I kind of get dragged into it. It's like, okay, let's go watch it. So with a lot of bias, I'm going to say that's why Star Trek is doing their fans quite the service, because they have currently levels of shows that you can enjoy. If you're a classic Star Trek fan, you have Strange New Worlds, which now gives you that episodic classic feel with the really wonky fantastical episodes sometimes that just done very, very well. And then if you want kind of more of a modern serialized series, you have Discovery. You can enjoy that. You can enjoy that. A season long story, same, but you know, same concepts, same Star Trek that you love. If you're more of a teenager, you need something a little bit more raunchier, Lower Decks will do it for you. And it has so many callbacks to so many other series that it will allow you really to almost like a like a gateway a show to check out other things that are popular or very beloved in the franchise. And if you're a kid, you got Prodigy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to introduce you to a lot of different Star Trek themes and messages that are going to get a lot more serious when you get to the older groups. And that's it, right? And yeah. and then you have the treasure trove of other shows, Voyager, Federation, Deep Space Nine, and the movies.
Did you mention Discovery? I'm sorry.
Yeah, I did. That was the generalized one.
Yeah, general audience.
Yeah.
Entry, so
you
new
got
thing,
you got a little bit of everything, and yeah, do they have their specific moments for callback, especially in Lower Decks, because it's animated. You could do a ton of them and makes it funny. But in general, everything is focused on a current storyline, on something that they're working on now. They're not always busy. Okay, and if you like nostalgia, they do have Picard. which is just nostalgia. No story, all nostalgia. I forgot that one.
Yeah.
So they even have that. They even like, okay, you want nostalgia? We have a whole show where we're just gonna stuff it all in there. We're not gonna do anything else but nostalgia. There you go. And despite the fact that I don't feel like the story's ever been very strong in Picard, mm-hmm. I watch it because I am a sucker sometimes for nostalgia. But I also have my other shows that I'm gonna be watching that fill the need for other types of content, but with Star Trek.
On nostalgia, because I'm always one of the ones to rip on it quite fast, but I've said repeatedly that it's repeated visits to a well, or it's the we used to hate this but now we're stupid and we love it. That type of nostalgia irks me. When it's a deep cut, something that hasn't been redone, something that's not a game that's not even 20 years old getting a full ground up remake, like when you go back 20, 30 years to something that hasn't been done multiple times already, it gets a bit of a pass for me. Yeah, sure, I'm still slightly annoyed because I'm like, let's get some original ideas going. But something like the Picard crew, like they haven't gone back to that well repeatedly. You know, this was their first, you know, time kind of bringing all these characters back to do this type of thing. So I could see where even people that are a little there are projects where even the nostalgia wary can still feel nostalgic, and I'm not going to consider that like hypocritical. It gets me even. I can't remember but there was something.
But what I'm saying is that there is that nostalgia element that they recognize that fans are going to want. So here's the show.
And they're feeding it. Yeah.
Yeah, here's the show. So you got like 7 of 9 from Voyager. You know, you have, of course, your Picards. You have your other people in Federation, whatever, and everything in between. And it works. Because it's not butting heads with anything new,
yeah.
Or it's not trying to fit it all into one sandwich.
Yeah,
you know, like a perfect example, Boba Fett. We had like one or two episodes of Boba Fett, and then what do? We added Cad Bane, we added Grogu, we added the Mandalorian,
Luke and Ahsoka,
Ahsoka. And it's like, wait a minute, I thought this was a story about Boba Fett. Oh, he's...
That was Mandalorian season 2.5.
It honestly should have just been called that, and that would have been fine. A couple of breakaway episodes, you know, a couple of breakaway episodes with Boba Fett. There would have been nothing wrong with that. Boba Fett, yeah. I think, has been one of the most overhyped characters in Star Wars history that honestly never deserved the light that he has been
given. Preach,
I do believe that.
Hallelujah.
What did he do other than get beat by a blind guy?
Yep, and eaten. Yep. Amen.
And then
I got you 100%. He looked cool.
His story, and then his story of how he got out was told by Patton Oswalt in an episode of Parks and Rec. Have you seen that clip, right?
Well, I mean, they've discussed him. I mean, he did get out in the EU, and it was basically that. But
it's just funny to hear it. Yeah. When you hear it from Patton Oswalt, then you see it on Disney Plus, it makes it funnier.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And everything's been so intertwined. with merchandise or with rides or with a Star Cruiser that didn't do very well. It's not doing very well. That you kind of, I really think that it's so much more to Disney about making money than even I know you whatever you don't like George Lucas, fine, but at least it still had that legacy, that legendary feel, because things were coming out every week with something new. Like there were some projects, there's some projects coming out where I'm like, why do we need that? Nobody, like you're oversaturating the market with Star Wars.
Yeah.
And you have a group of people who pretend like everything of it is great. And then you get something like Andor, and it's like, no, it's boring, it's slow. And it's like, well, this is the newest content that we've been able to get in a long time. This is the most interesting character we've seen in a while.
Characters.
Yeah.
Kino, Mon Mothma, Luthen, mm-hmm. Stellan Skarsgård, the stellar Stellan Skarsgård in that last episode. His speech, what did it cost? What have I given up? Just like, oh, dude, yes. Give me all of the drama. Give it. I'm down.
Yeah. And so I just think that they put their eggs all in one basket, and in order to draw interest, now they got to live with it. Just like a certain party has to live with a certain candidate. I'm not going to say who it is, but y'all know who it is. Y'all know who I'm talking about. So now you're stuck making this type of shows where you're going to have to keep making callbacks, or else
no one's going to watch.
No, or you're going to call it boring. You're going to call it uninteresting. And then next season, what are you going to get? You're going to get some weird thing with Grogu in it on Andor, where he just like walks by the screen. And that's going to be the most significant part of the season. Like, where's the imagination in some of these writers? Because that's the same problem that we had with She-Hulk over with that series.
Yeah.
It took the marketing for Daredevil to really pique people's interest. And this is coming from somebody who had been begging to see Jennifer Walters and Matt Murdock on the same screen.
Yeah.
Since Daredevil, I've been wanting that.
That bait and switch, and or either a bait and switch or a bait to like you said, the parks or hopefully toys, which again I point to how I said earlier that the sales lower, the quality lower, but it's look nostalgia, you know, the way they try to do handoffs sometimes. You look at Ghostbusters Afterlife, look the original Ghostbusters right here.
I loved Afterlife,
it's an example of that type of thing that studios do versus say what Top Gun Maverick did, which was like, this is a Top Gun sequel. It's about Maverick, and yes, there's new crews with him.
Yeah, but it's about
he's
him.
Got a new position. But this isn't a passing of the torch. This is a sequel.
Yeah,
and depending on how you throw movies out, sometimes the passing of the torch thing can kind of work. Quite often, when it's especially that type of legacy characters, you need something a little bit smoother. But Bill Murray and Harold Ramis, rest in peace, ruined that themselves on Groundhog Day. They both were jerks to each other and stubborn. But anyways, you like BioShock, don't you? If I remember correctly.
Oh yeah, I love BioShock.
So you and I have discussed in the past on this show. And by the way, guys, we're coming up on 200 episodes of the Daily Cup of Genre. When that does hit, you'll notice if you listen on the podcast side, I've had the legacy number underneath the relaunch number. We're in the 60s on that. When we hit 200, I'm pulling a Marvel. Yeah, we're at 62 for the new numbers. When we hit 200, and this should be 196, I'm pulling a Marvel and DC, and I'm switching the legacy number up on top. Would be episode 200. But you and I have discussed video game movies repeatedly
and video game shows now, Halo and Resident Evil, and we've mentioned the problems and the fears and how we thought TV shows or streaming shows would do better than movies because you have more time, but it's still really hard because you are the character in a game. BioShock scares the hell out of me because I freaking love it, and the fact is that Netflix is doing the movie. Of all of the studios, Netflix is doing the movie.
Well, is it specifically Netflix, or what's the studio behind it?
Because as far as like who some of the producers are, I don't know. Let me see if I can't look that up.
Keep talking. I'll see if I can find it.
Okay, Collider had a interview with the director Francis Lawrence, all right, and he spoke about kind of the status of it and what about it. So he says, well, Michael Green, who's the writer who wrote Blade Runner 2049 among other things, and who's been a friend of mine for years, he's writing it, and he's in the middle of writing it right now. We already have our take outlined and all that kind of stuff, so that's all done. He's now just actually writing. That's why I said it's a real possibility of it being what's next on his docket. He added, and this is to the point Manny and I have talked about what's rough about game adaptations. First of all, I think it's one of the best games ever created. It's damn good in my opinion as well. It's also, I think, one of the most visually unique games ever created.
Yes.
The other thing, and one of the things that always appeals to me, is it is very thematic. There's real ideas and philosophies underneath the game property, and it's really, really, really thought out. A lot of games may have a great world of some kind, or they may have a great lead character, or they may tee you up for great set pieces, but they don't really have the ideas. They don't have the kind of weight and gravitas that BioShock does. The sort of combo of real ideas and philosophies mixed with the unbelievable aesthetic of it, plus one of the other things I love is the sort of strange mashup of genre. The idea you have of what feels like a period piece mixed with body horror mixed with sci-fi, it's one of those great mashups, and I think it can be really unique and really beautiful and entertaining. So basically he's saying that his has, and I realize I had the wrong window up on OBS, sorry about that guys. Basically what he's saying, they've been looking at you for the whole time I've been talking, Manny. Basically what he's saying is that this game has more to it for them to draw from to make it a better adaptation than, say, the zombies and Umbrella for Resident Evil, or the aliens, the Flood or whatever from Halo. That kind of property's too basic, I guess, is kind of how I took what he's saying. They don't want to get too much into the process, or don't want to get too much into what's going on because it's still really early in the process. He says he certainly have not felt stifled in any way or sent in any directions with Netflix. So he's saying they get to carry on with the tone and stuff that they want. He says a lot of it is staying really true to the game itself, and we're talking to Take-Two Interactive. So yeah, how do you feel, man? Does any of that ease any fears? Because I'll tell you what, I still am scared shitless.
Oh no, I don't care what they tell me. You better show me the movie before we start talking about common fears. Yeah, it's a video game movie. To me, as of late, I feel like the only video game movies that have been successful, the Sonic franchise,
Pikachu.
Oh yeah, Detective Pikachu. I forget that technically is a video game movie. Is it a video? I mean, it's like, whatever.
There's
a
game called
Detective Pikachu. Okay, it comes with. Okay, yeah, whatever. Ash Ketchum, before, by the way, shout out to my boy for finally
world champ,
winning the big one. I literally almost cried because that was like, tell me that's not a lot of people's childhood. It was him trying to become. Although I will say, bit of a stretch the way that that battle ended a little bit.
Did you headbutting Charizard?
Yeah. I'm like,
You win with tackle. I mean, I've won with tackle in the old Game Boy games too, but still.
Yeah. Anyway, but I guess like that's a very powerful Pikachu. Like, like in the games, could it happen? Yeah, you're right. But still, shout out to him. And Mortal Kombat, the latest Mortal Kombat, I thought was very, very well made, for what it was. And I'll even throw it in there just because Wreck-It Ralph, it's technically a video game movie. And that's it. That's really it, I think. Other than that, they've tried.
I have high hopes for Mario. I do. I know you don't. Stupid Mario voice. God, you're just ridiculous.
My daughter looked at me and she's like, why does he sound so weird? And I was like, exactly. Thank you.
I could not listen to 2 hours of video game voice. There's no way.
Listen, I listen to 2 hours of you sometimes. I deal with it. We get through it. We do okay. So, it might be good though. So, I do like the fact that Jack Black is playing Bowser. Mm. So, but it's like, out of all the actors, and I think it's because of, it's like Chris Pratt, like he's in everything. Like, give it to anyone else. I do not care.
Anyone else coming in with the Brooklyn, New Yorker type accent, and you would have been a little bit happier, is what you're saying?
I don't know. You should have let. He passed away, unfortunately. I was like, the guy who played it, the actor that played him originally in the movie.
Bob Hoskins.
Bob Hoskins, yeah. Like, hey, you know, I'm Mario. Well,
that's what he was. That's what he's, I mean, he's gruffer sounding than Pratt, but you can hear that's what Pratt is trying to do. He's going for that.
Trying is a big stretch.
New Yorker. Well, we only heard him say, what is this place? And Mushroom Kingdom, here we come. There's not a lot of room there to show your vocal.
Yeah, but you range. And I have talked about the issues with video games is the fact that video games are such a personal experience.
That it
makes it very difficult to replicate, to make it to a movie, because you're really taking that away from audiences. You know, you're used to being able to create to maneuver the characters and really create their story as you're going along. Now you're kind of just watching somebody play badly.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the problem with it. There's nothing wrong with it.
That would be annoying.
And then also, they need to stop letting people who don't, they're play not the fans, games,
not the fans. Yeah.
For example, I just remember how upset I was when most of the people on Halo had not played Halo. That was or when they say like, oh yeah, you know, it's like, we're not really taking from the game, we're kind of taking our own direction. It's like, ooh,
or we're gonna have a courtroom based show and we don't know how to write courtroom stuff, right, and we couldn't borrow any writers for courtrooms.
Now you're going back to She-Hulk, and that's not a video game property. I will not let you do that.
Sorry.
Next thing you know, you're gonna start talking about Sony again, who have failed very badly with video games.
So freaking Resident Evil. So yeah.
Okay, I get. Yeah, so, but I think that's the big issue, and it sucks because they're so beloved. Like, and what is it? Because this is a video game thing, but we also saw it in The Mandalorian. What is it with characters that don't take their helmets off that the first thing they decide to always do is take their helmets off?
I mean, they did the same thing with the young actors for the last Power Rangers movie. Yeah. They figured out a way because they want their faces to be seen.
I get that, but like...
Then don't pick the part.
Yeah, pick, like, yeah.
If you're that desperate for your face to be seen,
the crappy thing about the Power Rangers thing is that it really had potential. That cast, that cast was great.
Great, they had an amazing cast. Starting off with Zordon was a ranger, and Rita was the green. That all of that was just brilliant.
It needed a couple of different EPs, I think, And I really didn't mind what's her face as Elizabeth Banks as Rita. I thought she was fine. Also, and my biggest issues were the Zords.
The looked stupid and not seeing Mega Zord come together.
Right. Well, you know, it's like that's like a huge moment. And then David Yost said it too, talking about the movie. It's like, why would you deprive fans of it? Because that's like the moment. Same thing when like, what's the one with the lions?
Voltron.
Like, if you don't see Voltron coming together, it's like, what's the
deal? Oh, my God. If and when they ever get that live-action thing off the ground, first off, 90% sure it'll suck. But if the 10% chance of it being great happens, if they don't have them damn cats go up into the sky, fold and create and then lock in and stuff, yeah, I'll be mad.
It's like, budget problems. It's like, no, screw you, man. And then it deprived us of seeing whatever they wanted to do with Tommy. But there was so much potential there, it upset me with how much potential it was there.
So much. And I mean, people that have been watching the show for a couple of years know that I've got my white and green Ranger hoodies that I'm wearing most of the time when it's not summer. You can't see the top shelf behind me is covered in green and white Ranger stuff. So yeah.
So you do believe the Green Ranger is the most important Ranger or the best Ranger?
It's all about Tommy Oliver, man.
God, like this. There's so many of you guys that just simp
a total
over Tommy.
I was gonna say I'm a total hetero simp for Tommy.
I had this.
He was badass, man. He was green and evil for a minute. He was dark. Awesome.
I had the same fight with somebody at work, and I did it at that point to antagonize him because I didn't realize how big of a Tommy simp he was. And then it was like, oh man, you really like Tommy, don't you? He's like, he's the best Ranger ever. And it's like,
1 second.
Oh boy. I'm sorry, guys. I did something.
Ridiculous.
Oh yeah.
Just one. It's cool. It's one of my collectibles that I'm really happy to have.
You mean the flute that he plays that shouldn't technically work?
Yes, because... Whoops. Which button do I...
Oh, no.
Yes, that one. Okay. The flute that he shouldn't be able to play because he's wearing a mask that has no... has no open mouth.
It doesn't matter. Who cares? Like, it's great. It's like, it should have happened. Hey, we're supposed to be talking about video game movies, but it's okay.
Yeah, somehow we got distracted.
Power Rangers are cool.
Yeah. Anything else about BioShock other than us just being scared and his comments not really fixing it?
It's just such a big world that, you know, it does worry me that it's too big. And I think that there's so much that, okay, you're going to end up, regardless of how good your story is, you're going to leave out something really important that's going to piss us off regardless. But I get it. You know, you can't have everything. Or they're going to change something and it's going to piss us off even more. You know what I mean? That's really it. That's all I can say about it. It's just...
So I kind of have this hope. I don't know why, but especially after the Batman, Atlas Fontaine, I hope that Colin Farrell plays him. I don't know exactly, because it kind of fits, his Atlas persona can kind of fit Farrell in a way, but that Fontaine thing, after seeing the Batman and him as Penguin and whatnot, I do. I think Colin Farrell could play I imagine him just saying, would you kindly, throughout the movie.
You know who I kind of want to see in that movie? Who's that? You may not like it. What the heck is his name? I can't even remember his name anymore. He was in the movie with you're gonna have to edit that out.
You can say shit.
Ryan Gosling.
as who?
The
lead?
Yeah.
Ryan? As the lead, as the character you play?
Yeah.
I could see that. I guess.
I think he's like young enough, but old enough right now. But it's going to be difficult to get. Although Netflix has been getting bigger names, but also I wouldn't be mad if none of the names are recognizable.
Yeah. What about Andrew Ryan himself, who should play the king of Rapture?
You know, a name that I thought might be kind of cool just because he has kind of an evil look to him all the time. He's been mm-hmm. featured in American Horror Story quite a bit. I'm not sure if you're going to know the name of Finn Wittrock. Put a little mustache on him. I think, and just kind of the persona as I've seen him played. I think he'd be pretty good because
I could see that,
because there's always something snarky about him and something kind of like, I know, like, you know, he's not.
Yeah.
100% like a good guy or ever.
But I can't remember the crazy surgeon. He was German, right? If I'm not mistaken.
I believe so. I haven't played those games in a few.
Daniel Brühl. Zemo, let him be the mad surgeon. I know he gets typecasted as bad guys all the time. You go back to like Inglourious Bastards and Zemo and whatnot, but that would be fun. Oh, or we'll go with the Austrian who can easily play Germans and Christoph Waltz.
That's almost one of those things where you're like, he could play any bad guy, and it doesn't matter because he's gonna kill it. It's kind of annoying, but yeah, it's like it's almost like saying Idris Elba for any lead character, and you're like, sure,
okay, yeah, sure, what?
Knuckles? Why not? Yeah, why not? It's like, what? Okay, sure, why not?
Idris Elba for Mario. I found one.
Sure, let's do it. I'll take him over Pratt.
Oh man. I was gonna, it's just kind of
annoying. Let's move on.
I was gonna potentially crap all over the Hollywood Reporter's ranking of 70 Marvel movies, allegedly all 70 Marvel movies, but we don't have time because that will definitely cause quite the fight. But if you guys have time to check out the Hollywood Reporter's Marvel movies ranked, when you get to the top 10, you're probably going to lose your mind, because there's some really dumb picks there. Some really dumb picks. Anyways, guys.
Now I'm super curious and I do want to talk about it.
Okay, so oh god, with 42 minutes, and let's try
we could just talk about it tomorrow.
And you just want to talk about it tomorrow?
Yeah,
we'll talk about it tomorrow. Yeah. We'll talk about it tomorrow. All right, guys. There's a reason to come back tomorrow.
There's always a reason to come back.
There's one particular reason is what I should say, but yes, there is always a reason to come back to the Genreverse YouTube channel and podcast network, because we've got the Daily Cog and we've got Breaking Geek Radio, which does long form what Cog does, reviews and news, leaks, rumors, discussions. We've got anime covered with AVR and AVR Squared. We've got Star Wars on the Cantina, Marvel with Marvel Multiverse Mayhem. We even do trailer reactions on the YouTube channel with Genre Shot. All of the reviews and podcasts go up wherever you get your podcast from: Google, Spotify, Apple, and Stitcher. So give us a follow, and especially if you're on Apple, if you're listening to us on Apple right now, we would love a review, a rating, please. That would really help us out LRMonline.com, where you can see Janet and Jonesy talking on Breaking Geek Radio right now about Wakanda Forever. I was gonna say it's quite fun here at the genreverse, Manny. We are so diverse that between you and I and Jammer and Jonesy covering Wakanda Forever and reviewing it, you guys can get the opinions of couple of Latin American blooded dudes, a black dude, and a colonizer. I mean, hey, you get all three sides of the all three sides of the story.
Boo
right
to the
there.
Colonizer.
I love that line that Shuri said. When are we leaving so I can go see my favorite colonizer? It was great. I love a lot of little moments in that movie. But so, God, it got dragged down by some not so great
so
moments.
Just really quick, it's been funny to talk to people about the movie, especially like Hispanic friends. They're like, you know, we love Wakanda and everything, but if Namor asked us to burn the world with him, and then everybody just—it's funny. I get the same response. It's this. They go, and I go. You know, Wakanda had a good run, but you know, we gotta stick with the people, man.
You guys are just you guys are just lucky. Summoning magic is not a real thing. Otherwise, meteor would have smited this planet a long time ago by my hands. Anyways, guys, we did all the closing stuff. Social media information down below in the description box as well. At that Kyle Malone on Twitter, at Manny Gomez Media on Twitter for Manny, and Riddle Me This 510 on Instagram. Check out Manny's interviews for the Santa Claus, all up on the LRM YouTube channel. So, yeah. Anything else, Manny?
I don't know. Batman.
Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino online.
I was only playing for fun, so winning was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's favorite free online social casino. You too could have the chance to win life-changing cash prizes. Absolutely anybody could be like Mary. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and play for free now. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of the winner.